podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Saturday Draft Live. My name is David Hockney and we are 1 week away from the grandest stage of them all. We are 1 week away from WrestleMania going Hollywood, which means this episode is the penultimate episode of Season 16. And let me tell you, it is going to go down to the wire, both in the main league and the Listeners League. But more on that in just a bit. Joining me today is one of my regular co-hosts. It's Mr. Party Time himself, Ryan Dalgleish. Ryan, how are you?
Absolutely fantastic, David. I've made my long-awaited return. Obviously, when you go to Hollywood for WrestleMania, you bring the best guests, and why not bring back Party Time? So here I am, back.
And today is also a very important episode, because it's very fitting that WrestleMania goes Hollywood, because we're rolling out the red carpet to not only the founder of our podcast, but also one half of Andy and Stephen in the morning. It is, joining us today, it is Mr. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, how are you?
Fine, David, fine. Yes, it's a lovely morning here. here in a lovely Glasgow, but yeah, I'm all good.
Yeah, just bear in mind, we are testing some new features here on the podcast. So if you hear any hiccups, etc., we'll just bear with us as we go along. But if you've listened to Saturday Draft Live before, be sure to find us on Spotify, iTunes, Spotify for Podcasters, or any good Android podcasting site. And be sure to catch us on our socials, Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at Suplex Retweet. Also follow us on TikTok as well, also at Suplex Retweet. But yeah, now that the socials are out the way, let's talk some analysis now. And Ryan, I'm going to start off with somebody who's been making regular appearances in the top three scorers of the week. We have Rhea Ripley on 8 points this week. You know, we've said throughout the season, you know, Rhea Ripley, the number one pick overall, currently second in the top 10 of the season so far with 60 points all in all. I mean, do you think it was a given that Rhea was going to be a strong performer this season?
Oh, definitely. Well, you got to consider she won the match with Bayley earlier in the week. She's involved with the run with Charlotte at WrestleMania. She's involved with the Dominic story. She's involved with the Judgment Day. Like, it's as I've said many times before, it's an absolute no-brainer. And like, seeing results like Rhea scoring 8 points it's not a surprise. If anything, you'd be thinking she'd still, that's probably a lower week for Rhea Ripley. But yeah, I can't really fault Rhea, to be honest. It's a good pick, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And on second place this week, Stephen, I'll come to you this one. Gunther, 9 points overall with a win over Butch of the Brawling Brutes on SmackDown. Things seem to be heating up between him, Drew, and Sheamus ahead of the Triple Threat Intercontinental title match at Mania. Overall, though, he's sort of sat in the bottom half of the top 10. 35 points overall, currently the number three draft pick overall. Do you think there could have been more points from him in the grand scheme of things, or do you think he's performing to expectations?
I actually think he's probably below. I would have said he was mine and Andy's first choice pick. He was taken off the board quite early, so
yeah.
35 points, he should. Well, actually, it might not, actually, because who knows how it was going to happen at the Mania with the Triple Threat. But he got 41 points last season, 66 the season before. So does it make him maybe a less as attractive pick because of the uncertainty? The thing is, when he wrestles, he wins. But he's not wrestled enough. That's the thing. I think he's only had like 2 wins all season in terms of
which is not a lot in the grand scheme of things. But he does score big this week alone, a much needed points booster for you and Andy. This time around, but Ryan,
we don't have him. It's not in our team, David.
Oh, I thought you said
Scott.
He's on the McLeod team. I said we wanted him, but somebody.
All right, I see. Yeah, you wanted him as a first round pick, but yeah, No, that's my fault. Yeah, Ryan, where were you in the backup with that? I thought you were supposed to be my co-host.
Didn't want to talk over you, David. I wanted to let you make an arm mistake in this recording 5 minutes in.
Yeah. I know. Botchamania runs wild. Ha ha. Lols. But anyway, since I'm talking to you, Ryan, we'll talk about the number one scorer this week and somebody that's kept Men on a Mission 2.0 afloat all season long. Cody Rhodes, our captain, scoring 10 points this week. Moves him up to 58 points overall, just 2 points behind Rhea Ripley now. I mean, it's all going down. You know, he's getting wins over Ludwig Kaiser. He beat LA Knight on Raw. And he's also set to face Solo Sikoa on the go-home Raw before WrestleMania. 1 week left. Is he going to finish the story and get those much-needed pay-per-view title win captaincy points to get Men on a Mission 2.0 back-to-back tag team wins this season?
I'm going to be the bad guy here. I don't think he's winning it, Mania. I really don't.
You're siding with Jack then?
I don't know what it is. It's no clicking for me. And I'm like it all, but it doesn't feel right. I feel like there's a longer downfall post-Mania, and I just don't see it. I definitely could be wrong. I'm not the popular opinion here. Outside of that, though, Cody has been a great pick. You're the post-Rumble season going into Mania. You're going to pick the Rumble winners, aren't you? No wonder he's so high on the table. So good pick regardless, but I just don't see the finish line being great.
Stephen, I'll get your opinion on that. Do you think Cody's finally winning the big one at Mania, or are you joining Ryan and Jack in the pessimists club?
I think it could go either way. I'm leaning towards winning currently. I feel like the stuff in the last few weeks with Solo Sikoa will feed into this whole bloodline breakup angle that's inevitably going to happen. Either on Mania weekend or the week after Mania. But yeah, Cody, he's been a fantastic pick. I think it's fair to say him and Rhea were always going to go early. And yeah, the two of them are roughly sitting about the same, 60 points, 58 points respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Cody has, in the past, he's got a reputation of being a solid pick when he's doing well. I remember his season 5 run when Allen had him, when he won the TNT title, and he got 109 points then.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he got 72 points for me before his pec exploded. So, if he wins this one, he could be well on track to maybe get close to 100 points, probably just shy of it, somewhere in the 80-91 there, but that would mean...
It's fairly achievable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the only person sitting above both Rhea and Cody this season is due to a fantastic Elimination Chamber performance from Asuka, who's still at the top of the top 10 of the season with currently 69 points. Nice. But yeah, it sounds like she could be overtaken come the end of the season if she doesn't... well, actually, no, she's got the Raw Women's title match at WrestleMania. Maybe she could still finish the season on a high, assuming, because all three of them are going to be in title matches this Sunday. That is assuming they all win, of course. But, you know, that's analysis for another day. So going into the main league rankings on the penultimate episode of the season, seventh place, we have Grant McRobbie and Kwaku Aje with Alba Gugraps 2.0, currently on 92 points. So... 1 week to go, and they've yet to break the 100-point barrier. But, you know, never say never. I think it's certainly doable come WrestleMania weekend. In sixth, we have Serenity. Now, Scott and Ross McLeod, 116 points. Then in the battle of the mid-table, we have Jack Graham and Ryan Dalglish, the pair of fannies, on 125 points this week. The top scorers of the week as well, with 24 points in total. So that's a nice little boost in point for your team, Ryan.
Not that it matters.
it's been a solid effort. Solid effort. It's a shame that Jack's obsession with Alpha Academy seems to have let us down.
Aye, but we had our reason and it was flawed. But yeah.
I mean, they appear. They're on the Mania card.
Aye, Mania showcase, but
It's a shame that Otis got lost for the whole of Raw the other week, yeah. when you could have had like 3 extra points.
We literally needed them, and Otis is getting manicures.
OTZ. Yeah, but fourth place, the Transatlantic Heartbreakers, Ryan Gallagher and Chris Lopez, doing a lot better than I think anybody anticipated, sitting right smack bang in the middle of the table with 126 points, although they were the lowest scorers this week with just 11 points for their team. So a pair of fannies could easily overtake them next week at some point. Then we move into third place. We have your team, Stephen, with Andy Mitchell. Andy and Stephen in the morning on 134 points. Very solid this week for you guys. You get 17 points along with their second place team, Goats Incarnate, who are 17 points ahead of you, 151 points. But once again, top of the table, last tag team season's winners, Men on a Mission 2.0, myself and Gary Kernahan, currently 11 points ahead of Goats Incarnate, 162 points overall, scoring 22 points this week alone, most of which was Cody and Dom Dom. But 1 week to go, gents. Do you think the table's going to shift following the go-home week before Mania and, of course, Mania itself?
Well, that's the kind of beauty of it, David. WrestleMania, there's so much going on. There's so many things chopping and changing, moving left to right. Things can change in a heartbeat when it comes to, especially WrestleMania week, not mean just the pay-per-view itself. But I think mostly you're looking at a two-horse race here, maybe three. Obviously, Goats Incarnate and Men in a Mission. Andy and Steven in the morning. I'm not going to say it the way you said it, David. are still on my run?
Did I say it wrong?
I don't know. but I think they're still on a run for it, but they're very outside. They're like a 20-1 in the bookies, and I don't like 20-1s.
can I just say that the pop culture knowledge on this SDL decreases rapidly when Jack and Scott aren't here?
Well, Jack's a very delicate boy this morning, so he will not be.
Well, I found out on the selection night that Serenity Now is a Seinfeld reference, and I don't watch Seinfeld, so that's my excuse.
It's on Netflix. It's the easiest watch you'll ever have in your life. it's just the you stop watching the Sidemen on YouTube and watch Seinfeld, and then watch Community when you finish that. Then you understand what we're talking
I suppose
about.
Alison Brie is on Community, so that's more than enough reason to watch. But anyway, pop culture references aside, Ryan, I'm handing it over to you now. Please tell us what's going on with the Listeners League and the Listeners League Cup.
Do I have to?
Yes.
Right, we'll go to the league first, right? Once my computer decides to actually work. There we go. Right, we're going to go with the top five per season. I'll break down kind of what's going to happen in the top. So you've got fifth place, 178 points. You've got Jonathan Napier with Flex Fridman. In fourth place, just a point ahead in 179, despite Dudley's medical insurance bill and Ross Henderson. Then you go to where the title race really is. You've got John Sly at Judgment Day, one-ish, 193 points. Then you get joint first. You've got both Ross Brady and Gary Morris at 195 points. I'm just going to take a look these teams quickly. But yeah, it's definitely looking like a three-horse race, guys.
Is this the tightest Listeners League we've ever had, with just 1 week to go before the end of the season? I think it might be.
It's a particularly tight one. I shall check once...
They are getting better.
Yeah. Because Gary Morris
they do know what they're doing.
Gary Morris has Dominic Mysterio as his captain on 80 points, so that's definitely the driving force behind
his
team.
So Gary's got Rhea Ripley, Asuka, Solo Sikoa, Dominic Mysterio, Sheamus and McIntyre, and Adam Pearce. And Ross has Rhea Ripley, Asuka, Solo Sikoa, Austin Theory, Sheamus, McIntyre, Damian Priest. So you kind of got like the same kind of formula with slight tweaks. And you can see where the success really is coming from. Although John Sly, who's the third place, 2 points behind, has got a bit different. That's Rhea Ripley, so is Charlotte Flair, Dominic Mysterio, Orange Cassidy, Damian Priest. But there's a lot of overlap there. You can see where the points are actually coming from.
In terms of historically, in the Listeners League, like the two closest ones were actually won by former SDL hosts. There was a David Camp was winning season 8 when he won season in that one, when he won on captain points. And then there was, of course, Ryan's win in season 2 where he won by a point and a half over Alan Laurie. But it's the first time we've really had, with a week to go, I'd say it's a three horse race.
Yeah.
After, David, your prediction the other week of Anthony Fitzpatrick being one of the contenders, he has had a bit of a nosebleed and collapsed, like his glorious Oldham. He has fell like a rock.
I don't want to talk about failing football teams in this show. Thank you. We'll move.
How are things standing in the Listeners League Cup?
Oh yes, yes. Bear with me.
The Listeners League Cup is a 2-week one this week, so I can bail Ryan out because the scores aren't really on that sheet for that. Currently Matt Smith is currently the favourite in many people's eyes on this show. Is on 21 points. He has had a pretty, it's a quite a solid week in terms of general. He's probably lacking from the fact that there was no Jamie Hayter and no MGF on Dynamite. Well, MGF had a kind of pre-recorded video, but not a lot of points from them. 21 points, though, would be okay most weeks, but he is against the steamroller that is Tam McKay, who was in the bottom two of the Listeners League in week one. He's currently sitting in seventh, and yeah, he got 32 points this week. Dominic and Rhea and Sosako and the Usos really providing the business for him. A nice wee appearance from Adam Pearce as well. So even though everybody was tooting Matt's horn as a former Listeners League winner, Tam, who's not even in the WhatsApp group chat for the Listeners League, is ever a chance of being the first ever Listeners League Cup winner, I would say. I would swear to him, especially now that Ray Dominic has been confirmed for Mania.
I'm surprised Michael Cole doesn't have a much more of a JR-esque reaction when Stone Cold beat Eric Bischoff in 2003 when Ray punched Dom. It was, it was all set up, but he just went, oh yeah, and that's it.
He had to restrain himself, you know. They only had so much time on TV.
Oh, well. But yeah, just to wrap up this episode, Stephen, you're our guest today, so we might as well let's discuss your team. And you're currently sitting in third place with Andy Mitchell in the main league. But you had a very good start to the season with the Elimination Chamber, and you had the captaincy on Asuka, who ended up getting you a ton of points, and she's been top of the table ever since. But recently you switched your captaincy to Sami Zayn in light of him and Kevin Owens challenging the Usos for the tag team championships at WrestleMania. Are you confident with your strategy going into Mania season with this captaincy change?
I would have preferred the gap to be less. I would, fair to say, I would have liked us to have been a bit more closer to the kind of the front two. I think the two of them have been on a Judgment Day Express recently. They're never off the bloody telly. I like Judgment Day, but when the two of our draft opponents have all members of Judgment Day, it's just like, come on, give us a break. But yes, the strategy we had was always to make the switch to Sami. It was just when to pull the trigger, when was the right point to go. Sami Zayn is the guy. And we were just waiting for him to get the right exposure for this kind of KO angle to kind of go. And I think the point we've done it is probably the best one. I would have liked to have done that angle to have been done a week or two earlier because Asuka stopped winning matches on TV. Because at one point after the Elimination Chamber, even before Elimination Chamber, it was win, 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 win. And kind of she's kind of plateaued a wee bit in terms of her points scored, and she was well ahead of the other people on the table. And now the other two are pretty much catching up with her. So I would have liked that. But yeah, I think we've got a chance, depending on how the Mania weekend goes.
Can I just add, I was actually thinking about what you just said there, Stephen, before you said it. I like how you didn't fire the trigger on switching it immediately after the Chamber one, because I think a lot of people would have made that mistake with the heat where Asuka won in the Chamber. Will carry on the next few Raws. I can't remember how many weeks it was until he changed it. It was not like nearly a month or so until he changed to
Capital City. Yeah, it was last week. This week we've changed it, so yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. So that makes total sense. Like you didn't just jump the bandwagon as soon as that you got all the points you wanted from Asuka, because everybody picked Asuka for the Chamber. So I like that you didn't immediately change it, showing your experience in the end there, Stephen. So well done.
My experience of appears to be the bridesmaid of the draft. I've not won a... People keep sitting when the points are a certain way. Oh, Stephen does the point. Stephen makes up what he wants. I've not won a league in nearly 3 years. People have had COVID 3 times since I last won a league.
I've won a league.
It's just like, come on. I'm the top 5 specialist. I'm the Arsenal of... which means I'm due a win soon.
You were glad you never said Tottenham then, because you're not winning any times.
Yeah, I had to kind of think about it.
But outside of Asuka and Sami Zayn, to be honest, your team isn't really anything to howl about. I mean, nobody else has scored above 15 points for the rest of the season. You've had what's, I think, best described as a juggernaut season with Asuka a little bit. But, you know, Imperium on 10 points, Darby Allin on 7, Johnny Gargano on 13, and Liv Morgan on 11. Not the best in terms of, you know, outside of one very high-scoring pick. I mean, is there anything you would have changed in hindsight, given your selections from round 3 onwards?
Yeah, I would have picked McIntyre and Sheamus as my tag team. Raging when they get picked. I feel the slander of that tag team on this show in recent weeks has been shocking. I think that's a cracking pick. They don't lose, you know. Whereas Imperium should be the same, but they're not. You know, I mean, they used them on SmackDown to put over Cody, and then they didn't appear with Gunther, and now they're going to lose next week to Sheamus and. Ironically, to Sheamus and McIntyre. So, yeah, I would have picked them. It would have got me a great deal more points. And in hindsight as well, I'm trying to remember how the snake went. Yeah, I would have got. I would have picked... I was between... In my head, I was like, need an AEW. If I can get a title champ from AEW. And it was between Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy. And I should have picked Orange Cassidy. I mean, the points differentiation is mental. I mean, 7 for Darby Allin, 41 for Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy is the best non-WWE scorer.
Yeah, and he's the highest scorer on Transatlantic Heartbreakers team as well. I mean, he's been the one carrying the season.
He has won 8 matches over the course of this season, over the course of all the AEW shows, which is only beaten by Asuka. He said, and there's 14 appearances to 8 wins, you know. When he's on TV, he tends to do well. And 5 title wins as well in that time. So,
yep.
It would have been an unbelievable shout on that one. I don't... I'm going to defend Johnny Gargano because I think he'll win at TakeOver or Stand and Deliver. Sorry. And that'll bring his points up to 20, which in that particular round is still a decent total, I think, because if you take out Heyman and you take out Cassidy, he's still performing very well. And Liv Morgan was the last bumming round. I needed a female pick. And if you compare her to the other one in that one, which is Nikki Cross, you know.
Yeah, I guess getting to a point in the last rounds where like there was a lack of quality women to pick for WrestleMania, so I can't really fault an ex-women's champion.
In hindsight, the only one I maybe would have went for that didn't get picked was Ronda. But at the same time, has Ronda been appearing regularly? She'll probably win at Mania. They might win twice at Mania.
She's been quite absent, yeah.
But they might win the Fatal 4-Way tag, and then they might win... There's a talk that they will then also challenge for the Raw Women's titles on the same weekend. So that could be 2 wins, but it was at the point it was very up in the air what was going to happen with Ronda, so I think that's why I didn't pick her, while Morgan was fresh off of being in the Rumble for an hour. She had a decent enough showing at the Chamber without actually pinning anybody, so it's just a bad luck. But I don't think her and Raquel, which will please you and Gary, Dave, I don't think they'll get pinned at Mania, so they'll get some nice solid points.
Yeah,
hope so. Because I seem to have, I've got Sami Zayn, who's always appearing with Kevin Owens, so that probably clashes with Brian and Jack. And then I've got Raquel and Morgan, who's always with Raquel. So I'm not going to get any closer to Dave and Gary. It's just, what can you do?
Mm-hmm. But on SmackDown next week, before Mania, we do have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So I suppose that should help some fourth or fifth round picks at least get some appearance points on the road to Mania. But I'm just going to throw it out there just to sort of round things off. Given the list of participants that you've seen on the graphic, who do you think is going to win this year's Andre the Giant Battle Royal? Ryan, I'll start with you.
I was literally just Googled to check who's on it because I don't know who's on it.
To be fair, it's a
big, all right, tell you what, we'll come back to you.
They just chucked the graphic out, to be fair. It was just like...
Yeah. Just all right. I'll tell you what, whilst Ryan does that, Stephen, I'll get your prediction. Who do you think's winning? Because I've got a prediction in mind already.
I have a prediction based purely because I'm surprised he's on the poster, or he's on the match, but given his potential Mania status, I think he's a no-brainer. Bobby Lashley's winning that Andre Battle Royal. Why he's in the Battle Royal? Because there is rumours that he's matched with Wyatt's off because Wyatt's got an illness. So I think this would probably be his way of trying. He'll call someone out and somebody will have a match at Mania or something. So I am going to be Bobby Lashley, which he's on Grant and Kwaku's team, which is good because they're well off everybody else. So him winning that Battle Royal is actually a really good thing for everyone else.
Yeah, it doesn't impact your choice at all.
Yeah. And remind us on Battle Royal rules scoring, isn't it? It's just points for winning, right?
Yeah,
rather than points for elimination.
I am not sitting and watching a Battle Royal that's not a Rumble because they tend to chuck people out randomly. You don't see what's going on. I am not watching that shit.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. Ryan, do you agree with Stephen's prediction or are you going to throw an outside bet in?
I haven't found the graphic yet, so I'm going to agree with Stephen from complete bias and lack of knowledge. But no, when you've got someone like Lashley in a match like that, because the prior plans may or may not be cancelled, I think there's not much, from what I remember, there hasn't been much story-wise with Battle Royals, so it's literally just a case of who they want to have win it, and you're not going to, no one's putting Lashley over top rope. So I'm inclined to agree. But again, I don't know who's in the match.
No, I think Bobby Lashley is definitely Bobby Lashley's a solid shout. But I think in terms of undrafted picks, I think one that could win that's undrafted, LA Knight.
I was actually about to ask him with a show as well.
My three picks are Bobby Lashley, LA Knight, and Bronson Reed.
I'll go LA Knight.
I think any of those three could win it. LA Knight's apparently, there's talk at him being the backup for Lashley. So they two being in there would make sense.
Top two?
Maybe they could be the final two.
Maybe. And it'll take him about 20 million men to chuck Bronson Reed over the top rope.
not as much as 11 people it takes to eliminate Nia Jax, which I think set a new record from 8 people eliminating Viscera.
It's not like most eliminations.
But you know what? We can digress ahead of next week. But that's going to do it for us here on Saturday Draft Live. First, I want to thank Stephen for joining us on the penultimate episode.
Thank you. Thanks, Dave.
Yep.
The shackles off, and again, Stephen, thank you.
And again, thanks for co-hosting with me, Ryan Dalgleish.
Absolute pleasure. I'll see you in another 8 weeks.
I've been David Hockley, this has been Saturday Draft Live, and we will see you next week for the finale of Season 16, and we will see you at WrestleMania.
See you later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.